One Plum Square by Amy Cohn. This is Spinning on Air. We've been listening to a special WNYC production of Amy Cohn's opera, for which she wrote both words and music. Our wonderful cast was comprised of Graham Rowat as Alex, Terry Klausner as Ellen, Eric Michael Gillette as Joel, and Melissa Fathman as Suzanne. Each of the singers played a few other parts as well. The musical director and pianist was Steve Marzullo. Annette Kudrak played the accordion, Ben Rubin the double bass, and Jeff Davis drums. Lisa Rothy was the director, Kimmy A. Corwin was our narrator. This WNYC production of One Plum Square was recorded and mixed by Rob Christensen. I'm David Garland. I'll chat with composer Amy Cohn about her opera, and we'll hear some other examples of her music in just a moment here on 93.9 WNYC and WNYC.org. This is Spinning on Air. I'm David Garland. Amy Cohn is with me. We've been listening to her piece, One Plum Square. I've been referring to it as a radio opera, and of course, it has been tonight. We've been listening to it on the radio. But Amy, you didn't really initially intend this for radio. I heard a sort of a workshop production that you gave a few weeks ago, and to my ear, it was ready for radio because the singers sang their stage directions, and so the visuals were there conjured just by the words and music. And it wasn't presented on a stage with any setting. But you didn't have radio in mind when you did that. Is that right?
No, actually, when you came up to me and suggested we do it as a radio opera, I thought, that's a great idea. I'd never even thought of it. And it works perfectly because they sing their own stage directions.
Right.
So it's been an amazing experience to put it on the radio and see what other things we can do to make it radio friendly.
If you didn't intend it for radio, then why did you have stage directions as part of the words of the opera?
It just seemed like a beautiful thing to do when I was writing. I'd never heard that happen before in opera or music theater, and I wondered what it would be like. It's interesting to switch back and forth between the third person and first person, and when the people were talking in third person, it felt like they were a little more detached and empty and self-aware.
Do you intend that One Plum Square should ultimately be seen with costumes and staging and everything?
Yes, definitely. That's my goal. I would love to put it on stage and add choreography. We thought of the idea of using video, and I have a lot of ideas. So I'm hoping that will happen.
I'm not sure it could ever live up to what each listener was picturing themselves
exactly.
In their own minds.
I know there's something so beautiful about having it on radio and each person can imagine whatever they want.
This piece was begun several years ago as part of your master's thesis in the NYU Tisch School of the Arts Graduate Music Theater Writing Program. And it's been picked up by other workshops recently. NYU put up a second reading of the piece in its revised form as part of its Frederick Lowe Alumni Reading Series. So you have been really sort of training in the field of musical theater and I'm sure studying opera to some degree as well. And especially musical theater, to my ear, is a field that is kind of heavily freighted by tradition and convention.
Mm-hmm.
You're clearly not so interested in these traditions and conventions, or at least not so interested in continuing the conventions.
Yeah, I love the idea of breaking boundaries in musical theater. I love musical theater because it mixes everything together, words and music and dance, and I just think it's such a beautiful form, and there's so much we can do with it in the future, and there's so many artists that are doing amazing new things in music theater, breaking ground. I worked for Meredith Monk for a while, who I believe is part of this American Music Festival. They're broadcasting some things from the kitchen, I believe, that she's saying. So things are happening. It's actually a really exciting time for musical theater and Broadway, and I feel like there's a lot of new great energy going on.
Do you? Because I'm not really involved in the Broadway scene or anything by any means, so from my outsider's view, It just seems like, you know, each season more and more revivals, and I don't feel like it's moving forward.
You know, I think it's both things are going on. There are a lot of revivals, and which can be great in their own way. The old stuff is amazing. But there's also once in a while you'll get a cool, kooky, crazy show going, like Carolina Change, which I just saw, actually was so unbelievably beautiful and completely inspiring. I think pieces like that keep things going.
I did see that, too, when it was at the Public Theater, and that was a marvelous and new kind of experience.
Yeah, it was a very cathartic experience for me. I was sitting next to my brother-in-law crying, tears in my eyes, and we shared that together. It was amazing. That show was by Tony Kushner and Janine Tesori.
Yeah, that was really great. So, yes, you remind me. I have been witness, not only tonight with your opera, One Plum Square, but on other occasions of a new kind of energy, a new sound that is being created in the world of music, theater, and opera. So thank you for your contribution to that, Amy. One thing I like about your music is that you are obviously fascinated with harmony and the possibilities of harmony. There are points in the course of One Plum Square where a singer will hit a note that seems discordant with what's happening at that moment. They hold that note, and then the music comes under it and puts that same note in a whole new context and makes it something consonant or just sort of changes the tonality one way or another. So again and again throughout One Plum Square, we've got very interesting things happening harmonically. Is that something you do very consciously?
Yeah, I love that you noticed that about the notes holding and then resolving underneath. In the time when I'm writing, it's not necessarily conscious, but I tend to do that a lot. I'll just sing as I'm playing the piano part. And I love when a note kind of reaches away from where you think it's going to go. And then you can, like, protect it or hold it and, and make it feel comfortable again.
Is your own musical background? Did you start with pop music? Did you start with classical music?
Well, when I was a kid, my dad played classical guitar, so I always had that going on in the house. And I actually wrote a musical in high school called The Comet. But then
get performed?
We did perform it. It was 28 minutes long, and I got a bunch of friends to put it on, and it was very exciting for me. I have a videotape of it lying around somewhere. In college, I ended up getting away from theater a little bit. I went to Oberlin for composition. And at Oberlin, they tend to focus a little bit more on the technical sides of things and music in an intellectual way and 12-tone rows and all that stuff, which I got really into. I was very into minimalism.
You enjoyed that?
Yeah, I was very into minimalism at the time and just thinking of music in a complicated way. When I left Oberlin, I suddenly got the theater bug again and applied to the Graduate Musical Theater Writing Program. And it was great, actually, to have the opposition because at the Musical Theater Writing Program, I actually remember one of my professors saying, Amy, you got to be a little less intellectual, you know, where's your heart? And it's one of the best things a teacher has said to me because it really opened me up. And that was right around the time I started writing this show.
I'm speaking with composer Amy Cohn, whose One Plum Square radio opera was just premiered here on Spinning on Air. Amy Cohn wrote the music and the words, but we didn't hear her as performer in One Plum Square. And yet, Amy, you are a performer.
Yeah.
You like to sing your own songs, too,
I love
right?
to sing and play piano and accordion and sometimes glockenspiel, if you're lucky.
And you
or unlucky.
You have your own band.
I do. It's the Amy Cohn Band, and we perform around town. There's seven of us, and we perform songs that are theatrical in their own way, but they tend to be a little more on the experimental pop side, high energy and dissonant, fun music.
All right. And we'll prove that now by listening to one of your pieces called Sweet Cacophony. This is you singing yourself. You're playing the piano.
It is.
And this is about one of my favorite topics, radio waves.
Yeah. thickness can't keep it out. Radio. Quiet hint seems, but in his bloodstream, sardines, ecstasy, elation.
Sweet Cacophony by my guest, Amy Cohn. That was fun, Amy, and interesting to hear after having heard One Plum Square.
Yeah.
Because I hear the similarities and the differences.
Yeah, definitely. That's actually a song from a musical that I'm working on right now, too. So, and it's going to be on my new CD as well.
Yes, this is like what you've provided to me is a little sort of sampler of a CD to come.
Yeah, right now I'm mixing my CD that should be out this spring. I'm very excited about it. It's been a 2-year process with a ton of musicians, my band plus strings and French horns and accordions and winds, and it's going to be great. I can't wait.
If people want to learn more about Amy Cohn's various music projects, you can go to amymusic.com and find the info there. You mentioned that the piece we just heard, Sweet Cacophony, is from your next musical show. This is something that's been evolving as One Plum Square did over a period of years. But this one is destined to be a huge hit because it has to do with radio.
Of course, definitely. I love that a song about radio was just played on the radio. It's my dream come true for the song. I love it. The new show is about a guy who is coping with the murder of his sister 20 years earlier by moving a bathtub down 4 flights of stairs. And it's the music is actually inspired by the 70s, and it goes back and forth between the 70s and the 90s.
Now, you seem to have just contradicted me. I said it was about radio, and you say it's about a guy who's moving a bathtub down some stairs to cope with his sister's death. So where does the radio fit in?
The guy who's moving the bathtub is a DJ. And he listens to the radio all the time. And the show is a lot about waves moving through you, radio waves or life waves.
I gave the address of Amy Cohn's website, but I realized that unless I spell her last name, people could misinterpret it all sorts of ways.
Right.
Amy is spelled the way you might expect, but the last name is K-O-H-N, Cohn. And anyway, the website is amymusic.com, so you don't really know how to, don't need to know how to spell Cone, but it's nice to make it clear on the radio anyway.
You can also get there by amycone.com as well. So.
You can. Okay. Let's hear another of your songs from this preview CD of your forthcoming recording. This one is called 1977 Swimming Lessons. Is this something autobiographical?
It is. It's about when I was taking swimming lessons and running around the pool. That's what this is about. And some of my friends, who I'm still friends with, will remember these moments.
Unpunctured sheen, pristine and healing, reflects the checkerboard, light blue, dark green, chlorine to ceiling, entrust the lacquered floor to keep us from careening in to the phosphorescence of 1977 swimming lessons. Yeah, yeah. Ba 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 ba.
That's Amy Cohn, my guest tonight on Spinning on Air. We've heard her radio opera, One Plum Square, and just now we heard a track from her forthcoming album. Amy just coincidentally brought her accordion with her because earlier she had a rehearsal with her all-women accordion band, the Main Squeeze Accordion Orchestra, and so she has strapped it on, and she is going to perform using her accordion, one of her own compositions, right here in the WNYC studio. Here is Amy Cohn. Thank you.
ellipsis. Love or let's undress. Ellipsis. Ellipsis. You get three to guess. This is an omission, mistress's suspicion. This is an omission, mistress's suspicion. Thoughts got removed from the source. Three dot won't get a divorce. Thoughts got removed from the source. Three dot won't get a divorce. He kisses. Ellipsis. He kisses. Ellipsis. He kisses. Ellipsis. He kisses. Ellipsis. Even further from inception. At my friend's wedding reception. Polka dots adorn my pleas. All but me have left their seats. Circle tables white with sheets. Cloth is clenched with three short beats. He kisses. Ellipsis. He kisses. Ellipsis. He kisses. Ellipsis. He lips
us. That's Amy Cohn performing right here in the WNYC studio with her vibrantly shiny accordion.
It's my new accordion. I love it.
It looks like it just came from the store. Or you buffed it, maybe. I don't know.
Probably both.
A song about Mr. Ellipses, the guy who's not there all the time.
Exactly. You never know what he means.
And you were telling me that that's a piece that you used to play on the piano. It's a new piece,
mm-hmm.
but you sort of designed it at the piano, and
right.
then transferred it to the accordion. That must have been quite a challenge.
Yeah, I had to play a party the other night on solo accordion, so I figured I wanted to play this song because it was a night of love songs. So quirky love songs, but love songs nonetheless. So it was a fun challenge to learn on accordion. It's a blast to play.
Well, you looked like you were having fun, so thank you very much for what's pretty much a spontaneous performance here in WNYC studio. So we've had quite a range of musical offerings from Amy Cohn, everything from that off-the-cuff performance of a new song to our elaborate production of your opera, One Plum Square.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I've had such a good time recording the show here and being part of WNYC for the past couple of weeks.
Well, you worked hard to make it happen. So, Amy, thank you very much for joining me. Again, Amy Cohn's last name is spelled K-O-H-N. You can learn more about her work at amycohn.com, or you can go to amymusic.com. And I should give a very special thanks to our engineer who recorded our elaborate production of One Plum Square and then did a great job mixing it, and that's Rob Christensen. So thank you, Rob, for your great work. I'm David Garland. This is Spinning on Air, and Amy Cohn, thanks again.
Thank you.
we have enough time here on Spinning on Air for a reprise of a few of the selections from One Plum Square, the opera we heard in its entirety earlier this evening. So we'll hear again the voices of Graham Rowett, Terry Klausner, Eric Michael Gillette, and Melissa Fathman, along with pianist Steve Marzullo, accordionist Annette Kudrak, double bassist Ben Rubin, and drummer Jeff Davis, who all trooped into the WNYC studio and contributed their wonderful talents to tonight's production of One Plum Square. Tonight's show was produced by yours truly, David Garland, and by WNYC. Thanks for listening.
Opens a brown album.
Art school. Joel opens a white box.
Art school. Alex opens a blue yearbook.
Joel and Ellen and
Alex and Ellen and
Joel and Alex and
Ellen.
Joel.
Alex.
Alex and Ellen and
Joel and
Alex and Joel and
Ellen and Alex and Joel.
Joel and Ellen and
Alex and Ellen and
Joel and Alex and
Ellen.
Joel.
Alex.
Alex and Ellen and
Joel and
Alex and Joel
and Ellen and Alex and Joel.
Inseparable.
Darkness and light, miss pencils, paper, shadows, oils, and plaster, texture, perspective, photography, pottery,
Alexander Sumner,
colors and
most likely to be Frank Lloyd Wright, innocent eyes, wide and darting,
pottery,
first sculpture, a bowl of fruit,
darkness and light,
what a disaster!
Helen Needham, most likely to have a sculpture exhibit at the Tate Gallery, innocent eyes, wide and dreamy.
Second sculpture, the roots of a tree. Better, getting better.
Joel Curtis, most likely to drop out before graduation. Ellen Needham, most likely to become Ellen Sumner. Ellen Sumner, most likely to divorce me after 20 years of marriage. 20 years.
My first time away from home.
Third sculpture. The human figure. This one was good.
Joel and Ellen and
Alex and Ellen and
Joel and Alex and
Ellen.
Joel.
Alex.
Alex and Ellen and
Joel and
Alex and
Joel and
Ellen
and Alex and Joel.
Inseparable.
Pain released.
my records. I love my records. Rows and rows of withering old records. My miles, my train, my bird. My chick, my Carla Bley, my scratches, my accumulated grooves, my smile, lines of lifetime devotion, filled with listening memory lotion, listening residue, listening mold. Listening endlessly, listening relentlessly to my fuzzing, my hissing, my buzzing, alphabetized, personalized, hopping, popping, skipping, dipping, dip listening discs of love. My lockjaw, my hawk, my sweet. My jelly roll, my hot lips, my count, my monk,